Well, we appreciate the presence of everyone this afternoon. We had a wonderful meal together. Great feast. We appreciate all of those who helped provide that good food for us. Life is something. Babies are born. People work. People get married, we live for a little while, and we pass away. Lost two friends here recently, two good Tennessee friends. One had been an elder at Robertson County, Ridgely and Barbara with Robertson County years and years ago. One had been an elder there for several years, Leland Hollis. He passed away. And then there was a man by the name of Bill Vinson from Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee, and he passed away. And both of those were good friends of ours, and they were great, great Christians. And we rejoice in their crown. And of course, we will miss them, and we pray for their families. I got some pictures sent to me about Bill's funeral. He was a good old country boy. And they, you know, took his body from the funeral home and transported it to it. It sort of looked like a covered wagon. Put the casket in that wagon and hauled it for about a mile, drawn by horses, hauled it about a mile to where he was going to be buried, between his house and his daughter Melita's house. And anyway, they sent up several of those pictures, and I just sat there and just looked at him, you know, thought about that. He was just a great guy. He and his wife, Donna. We live and we die. And if it were not for the promises of God, why would we want to even stay around? It helps us to face life. Not only to face life, it helps us to enjoy life and have a great life. And God wants us to have a great life in that respect. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. There are quite a few points, but I'll briefly state them. I won't give much elaboration, but you'll understand the points. I'm going to talk about some human characteristics. Various human characteristics. We live and we have certain traits about us. And we learn how to be from Scripture, how we ought to be. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to be, but we should develop the character of Christ. We learn to be like God as we imitate Christ. Paul tells us, and this is the first point, 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up. That's the way we get. If we do not allow it to be balanced by something else, it's good to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But if you grow in the grace, that's great. But what if you just grow in knowledge and that's it? Paul says knowledge puffs up. And sometimes we have seen it exhibited. The puffed up, inflated spirit of somebody who thinks he knows more than he does. But he knows a little. And because he didn't react to the little learning, he got inflated over himself and art I something. The tendency of knowledge, unless it is balanced by love, is to inflate the ego. That's what it does. That's what Paul said. Knowledge puffs up. I don't like to see that. I don't want to be puffed up. I don't try to exhibit that at all. And you have my permission to correct me if you think I am that way sometimes. But I don't try to be that way. I don't want to be that way. And then he says, number two, this is the second point, from the same passage, 1 Corinthians 8:1, love builds up. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. So if I have knowledge with love, I can be a help. And that was Jesus. Jesus knew more than anybody on the earth. He was never puffed up. Never was. And he was God. He was God in flesh. If anybody had the right to be puffed up, it was Jesus Christ. But he never was. He always walked humbly before men. He was a servant. I did not come to be ministered unto, but to give my life a ransom for many. So God stoops down to become the servant of people by means of the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. So if I can have knowledge balanced with love, then I can help somebody. Love builds up. We're in the building up business. Jude 20 and 21, building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Number three, wisdom shuts up. When you go to Proverbs 17:28, there's an interesting thing there that Solomon observes. You know, the book of Proverbs says a lot about the fool. The fool. And in this passage, Solomon says, you know, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted as wise. A man that really is a fool, if he doesn't just run his mouth all the time, but is very silent on occasions that are appropriate to be silent in. Somebody looks at that fool sitting over there and he just, you're sitting there in quietness. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted as wise. So, we ought to shut up. A wise man learns to shut up. James 1:19, James would put it this way. Be slow to speak. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wisdom shuts up. Number four, courage stands up. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul used that word stand and withstand several times. You need to stand up. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to stand, and having done all to stand, stand therefore and withstand. Talking about courage. So we're talking about knowledge, we're talking about love, we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about courage, we're talking about various traits that we're supposed to have as we live on this earth. Courage stands up. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We can pray for that. We can pray for more wisdom. We can pray for more love and more knowledge. And we can pray for more courage. The Bible gives us several illustrations. And I'm sure that as we grew up as young people, some of the most favorite Bible stories we really like were those where great courage was exhibited. Maybe just as a little innocent, you know, child, we heard those stories and maybe we marveled about that. And can I ever be like that in some respect, like David facing the giant, or maybe Daniel facing the lion's den, or his three friends facing the fire, the furnace of fire? Will I ever be courageous enough to do what God's man needs to do on the earth? Pray for those things. Courage stands up. Courage stands up. Number five. Now here's a bad one though. From Matthew 23:32. If you let sin have its way, sin fills up. Jesus said to those Pharisees in His day, you're just like your fathers. They were sinful men. So are you. And He says, fill up the measure of your fathers. We talked about that recently in some detail. The barrel of Judaism's sins was about full. The national filth, the national ignorance and rebellion of Israel, it was almost full. And within about 40 years, God would take Israel down. Fill ye up the measure of your father's sins, as it were. If I let sin have its way in my life, I get full of it. If I let sin have its way in my family, we get full of it. If you let it have its way in this congregation, we fill up with it. Don't live like that. Romans 8:14, you've got to hold sin down. Hold sin down. Sinfulness fills up. Number six, those corrected by God wake up. The corrected wake up. 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul once said to the saints at Corinth, there are quite a few of you people over there that are asleep. You're asleep. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, "Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall shine upon thee." Don't be in spiritual slumber. Be spiritually, keenly, widely awake. If you've gone to sleep, it's time to wake up. The corrected, those who understand their misgivings, the sins of the past, their want of energy in Christ, wake up. Number 7, the generous put up. 2 Corinthians 8:11, as Paul talked to the saints at Corinth about the contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, "It's time for you people to put up. You said a year ago you were going to help us with this fund, and a year's gone by. It's time now to put up, to help us in this word." 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 18, regarding the wealthy in the church, Paul says they need to put up. "Let them that are rich, you know, be, let them communicate to those that have need. Let them be rich in good works. Let them be that way. Let them put up." 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, just like we did a little while ago, we lay by in store. Did you look at that contribution? That's almost $22,000. $21,800, I think. That's almost $22,000 for this small group of brethren and three Sundays. That's, I've never seen anything like that. I know that the first Sunday there was an extra $1,000 by another member not with us, but all that other, most of that, it's just incredible. Blows my mind. The generous put up. And that's what you all do. Number 8, a teacher speaks up. 1 Peter 4:11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Christ." And so we speak, and we speak up, and we speak the words of Christ. That's the message on our lips. That's the message on our hearts. That's what we have to offer others round about us, the good and the bad. The informed and the uninformed. That's what we have to give. A teacher speaks up. Number 9, a sinner, when he obeys the gospel, comes up. Romans 6, 3 and 4, he arises to walk in newness of life. You bury a sinner. Do you baptize a Christian or a sinner? You bury a sinner. And he contacts the blood of Christ. Romans 6, baptized into his death. And then he says, we're raised by the glory of the Father. He's raised by the glory of the Father. He rises to walk in newness of life. A sinner now cleansed, a sinner now regenerated, a sinner now filled, comes up. Amazing, isn't it? Just like Jesus rising from the dead. Romans 6, 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are become new. My, my. What an amazing thing that is. And number 10. Praise. Praise goes up. There are at least three passages in the Psalms where he says, like Psalm 25:1, "I will lift my soul. I will lift up my soul unto God." Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail about midnight were singing praises unto God. We've had two worship services. We've sung several songs. One of the purposes of the singing is to praise God. Praise goes up. Sometimes the prayers that we heard maybe at camp, they would say something like, "We hope that our worship comes up as a pleasing or pleasant aroma. Like God is smelling something good on the earth." We think about the sounds of our worship. God is hearing something good coming up from the earth, as it were. Those are important images. When I live right and do right, I want to praise God, and my praise continually goes up. I was talking to that little sixth grade class I taught this past week. I had several kids in there. And I was just telling them, you know, you think about the difference in looking at the rainbow, looking at the snake, looking at the serpent. You know, that's not accidental or even coincidental. When God arranges the concepts in the light of the history, and then we draw on that to learn our lessons. And isn't there a lot of difference between looking up at a rainbow and you say, boy, that is beautiful. And you're, as you think about it, you're looking toward heaven and you think about God and all the Bible says about that. And then you look down and you see a snake. You don't look down to see the rainbow. You don't look up to see the snake. You look up to see the rainbow. And you look down to see the snake. That's on purpose. And when I praise God, I'm lifting my voice and I think in terms of God and heaven and what is above. And when I think about how a person becomes a Christian, except one be born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There are reasons why those words are employed. There are reasons why those directions become important conceptually to us. But the man of God sends his praise to where God is. Praise goes up. Well, you know, you could spend more time on these points, but these are 10 points that have to do with characteristics that we need to think about. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up, wisdom shuts up, courage stands up, sinfulness fills up, the corrected wake up, generous put up, a teacher speaks up, a new man comes up, and praise goes up. Amazing. Amazing. May God help us all to be the kind of Christians that He demands and wants us to be, to His glory and to our eternal good. If you're this afternoon not a Christian, come in faith, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come home right now while together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?